Well, this evening I'd like to speak to you about the cost of Christmas. The cost of Christmas in more ways than one. One poll recently stated that households expect to spend £1,149 on Christmas. Another poll said, and sometimes I wonder how they get these figures, but this is another poll, it said that the average child receives 16 presents. Last year, this is definite, over 8 million people in the UK went into debt after the Christmas period. In other words, for a lot of people, Christmas costs an awful lot. There's the financial costs, but also there's the cost of stress and pressure. Not everybody finds Christmas an easy time. Some people find it very difficult to be with relatives. Some have difficult relatives. Some people find the sheer busyness and the planning and the preparation very stressful. Now, we know for many of us, Christmas is a very precious time. It's a time when family is together. And the giving of presents is a joyful thing. We're very glad to give presents to our loved ones and our friends. And we would say that it's worth all the trouble. But that's not true for everybody. For some people, Christmas can be very lonely. Some people spend Christmas all by themselves. There are an increasing number of homeless people, and for them, Christmas is not easy at all. Now, I want you to cast your mind back to the first Christmas. Think of the cost that it was to young Joseph and young Mary to be the parents of the Saviour of the world. Think initially of the emotional trauma that we read about, that Joseph experienced. Joseph discovered that his engaged partner, who was betrothed to Mary, was with child. She was pregnant. And he, being an honourable man, he wanted to just put her aside, to separate from her quietly. He was absolutely devastated that she was pregnant until the Lord intervened. And the Lord explained that Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, even being a virgin. Now these two, Joseph and Mary, for the rest of their lives, living in Jewish society, would live with the stigma that people put on the birth of Jesus. Many people said that he was illegitimate. And as you read through the gospel accounts, you'll see people accusing Jesus of being of illegitimate birth. There was a great cost to Joseph and Mary in Mary bearing the Christ child. And do you remember that journey that they made from Nazareth to Bethlehem? We often see pictures of Mary nicely sitting on a donkey, and we think of a lovely walk and that lovely journey that they would have taken to come to Bethlehem. But you know, it wasn't like that, was it? For a pregnant lady, 9 months pregnant, almost about to give birth, to travel so far without supporting family, knowing that the birth was imminent, it was a very difficult thing for her. And then they come to Bethlehem, and think of what it meant. There's nobody who can take them in. They go from one guest house, one inn, from one to the other, and everybody refuses them entrance. All the inns and all the guest houses are full, and the only place that they can stay is in a stable. Imagine the cost that it was to Joseph and Mary that first Christmas time. And then Jesus having been born, and yes, there was the wonder of it. The shepherds came, and the shepherds were so full of praise and thankfulness. They were overwhelmed. They knew that this was the Messiah. They went out praising God and telling everybody the good news once they come to see Jesus. But after a period of time, Mary and Joseph would have to leave Bethlehem and leave the country and go all the way to Egypt. They'd have to become refugees. Why? Because Herod the Great sought to kill the Christ child. And he had said that every male child under two should be killed. And the scripture foretells this. In the Old Testament, there will be a tremendous amount of weeping. Rachel weeping for her children because many little boys were killed. You see, there was a tremendous cost for Joseph and Mary. And yet, they would be the first to say it was all worth it. The angel had come and said to Joseph and spoken to Mary and said, this is a holy one, this is a saviour, this is Emmanuel, God with us, your very son. He will be a human being, yet without sin. And yet at the same time, he will be God. This is God in the flesh. An amazing mystery. The angel would say to Joseph, you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. He will be the Savior. And they were overawed at this thought. The Jews had been waiting for their coming Messiah, and now he had been born, and it was God with them, God in the flesh, God manifest in the flesh. The Savior of the world had come. And he was of the line of David, and he would sit on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there would be no end. Now there was a personal cost. Mary was told this, that her child was destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. You see, Jesus Christ would become a focal point of conflict. There'd become a great division over him. Those who followed him and loved him, they saw the miracles. They believed who he was. They confessed sin and they followed Jesus. And others, the religious elite, and many important people, and many, many others, they rejected the Lord Jesus. For some, it was a fall, a falling away. For others, it was a rising. Simeon said to Mary that Jesus would be a sign who would be spoken against, and a sword would pierce Mary's heart. You see, over the stable in Bethlehem, there's the shadow of the cross. Jesus had been born to die. He'd come on a mission to give his life for many. And for Mary, she would see her beloved son dying upon that cruel cross at Calvary. And a sword would pierce her heart. And that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? It's this joy and wonder. God has come to earth. But it's also an understanding of what that meant. That Jesus Christ will go to a cruel cross to pay for the sins of many. But now I'd like you to think of the cost that it was to God. We're talking about the cost of Christmas. We've talked about our financial cost, but that's nothing, is it? We've thought about the cost to Mary and Joseph, but what about the cost to God? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, he who did not spare his only son, but delivered him up for us all. God the Father did not hold back his only son. Jesus is God. He's been God from all eternity. He is the eternal Son of God. He has no beginning and no end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. There's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God the Father did not spare his only beloved Son. He gave him up to a world that would be cruel, that would beat him, would reject him, and would crucify him. Now, we all want to do the best for our children. We never want to see our children suffer. Who would dream of leaving their child in a hostile environment, in a den of lions, with people who want to kill our children? Who would dream of ever doing that? And yet the Father, he so loved this world that he freely gave his only son. And Jesus accepted the cost. He was prepared for it. We read in the letter of Paul, the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, that though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Jesus was willing to give up the glory and the splendor and the majesty of heaven, his honor, and was willing to come into this world to save us. He stepped down for the riches of heaven and was born in the squalor of a stable. Why? Because God so loved sinners. This was the only way that God was going to rescue sinful people like you and I. In sending his Son to live a sinless, perfect, spotless, glorious human life, and to give that life as an atonement, a payment for sin upon the cross. There was no other way, no other way that God could save us. Sin must be punished. Sin is an offense to God. But God loves sinners. And so he gives his spotless, beloved Son to die upon a cruel cross, to take the vileness of sin and to take the awful punishment of God against sin, that we who believe in him might be forgiven, that we who trust in Jesus Christ might know all our sins cancelled altogether, completely, that we might have peace with God. And that's why the angels sang out to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The giving of the Father of his Son, this was a favor of God, goodwill from God to men. It was the way that men and women would find peace with God. But I'd like to close by asking you a question. What will be your response to this message? You see, the message of Christmas is about the love of God for sinners. The wise men, for them it wasn't too much cost to go miles and miles and miles and miles, traveling from the east, following that star, coming to Herod in Jerusalem, then following the star to Bethlehem, and bowing before the infant Christ, offering gold, frankincense, and myrrh, prostrating themselves before this little child, knowing that he was the Son of God. It was a cost, yes, but for them it was worth it. They sought him diligently. They found him. The scriptures had indicated where he would be born. God put a supernatural star in the heavens, and they found the Messiah, and they worshipped him. Are you seeking God? Are you really seeking him? Are you really seeking Jesus Christ? If you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. But you know, there's a cost. There's always a cost in following Jesus Christ. You see, there's always those who oppose. There was Herod, and Herod was opposed to Jesus Christ. And there will come many others opposed to Jesus Christ. And to be a Christian is to go against the flow. To be a real Christian, to be a born-again Christian, as the carol says, Jesus was born to give us second birth. To be a real born-again Christian, there's a cost in it. There's a cost of people misunderstanding you. There's a cost, there may be a division in your family as a result of those who want to follow Jesus and those who don't want to follow Jesus. There may be a cost at work of those who term you as religious. There's a cost when you stand for righteousness. You see, the person of Jesus Christ divides people. But it's worth it. If you come to Christ, you find life, you find salvation, you find peace, and you find the greatest treasure of all. When Jesus was just 8 days old, he was presented at the temple to be circumcised on the eighth day. And Simeon, that old man, he took up the Lord Jesus in his arms and he said, Lord, now you're letting me depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Oh, that this Christmas time you would see the salvation of God that's found in Jesus Christ. There's nothing better, and there's no person more beautiful and glorious than the Lord Jesus. This year, my eldest daughter was married at Miskin Manor, and the person who gave the message, he presented my daughter and her husband with a pearl, and he gave it to them. And he said this, remember, Jesus is the pearl of great price. And remember the parable that Jesus told, that a man went searching for pearls, and when he found this costly pearl, more costly than any other pearl, he sold everything in order to purchase it. He said to my daughter and her husband, Jesus must be the most precious person. You'll receive many gifts this Christmas time. Some you'll like, maybe some you won't like, and you'll keep quiet about that. But you know, the best present of all is the Lord Jesus. May you receive him. May there be room in your heart for Jesus this Christmas time. And may you become a worshipper and a follower of him. Amen.